This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With you this week is Greg Miller.
Hello, Damon.
Brian Altano is here. And Anthony Gallegos.
I'm here.
This is, of course, IGN's weekly video game news podcast, running through the biggest happenings in the world of video games every week.
Damon,
yes,
I'm surprised you had Brian Altano back here.
Yeah,
I had somebody on Twitter telling me that he ruins everything. Huh. Look at now, here he is.
Ready. You don't want to hear
even worse. That kid tweeted at me and he said that I use GameScoop as a medium to send invasion messages.
Well, it's working on me. Have me hypnotized. I'm under your spell.
What are we invading?
I don't know. Right. Apparently, my Italian-American agenda is spreading through the airwaves.
More than one listener has asked if you appear on my latest dubstep mix, because there's like one point in one song where the guy's like, "Bruh!" And they're like, "Is that all song?" It's pretty good. Let's get right down to it. Let's get down to brass tacks is what I like to say. It's kind of like a saying.
Did you coin that phrase?
Yeah, I kind of made it up.
That's nice. I like
Greg,
that.
You've seen Max Payne 3.
Max Payne? Yes, I did.
Max Payne 3.
Yeah.
The third in the series. It's been a long time since the last Max Payne game.
I've forgotten how much I love Max Payne.
Yeah, and this game looks quite different.
Yes, than it's in HD. Games. His head is round instead of square and flat and very polygonal.
He takes
I remember that their faces were always so awesome.
Yeah. Taking place in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It's all sunny down there, not dark, but like that was the big thing, you know, when Charles and I did a Rewind Theater about it. Like, and when people first saw that trailer, they were kind of taken aback that it was, you know, so different. He had a shaved head. It was in the sunny environment, blah, 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 blah. And then when we went and sat down and saw it, it very much is Max Payne. It's still very much in that vibe of Max Payne.
Did you play the game?
I did not play the game. I saw two extended levels and played.
It was played for you?
Yes. One in New Jersey when he's still in his coat, you know, he's got his normal
represent.
Hair.
Who has played Max Payne? Anthony?
I played one and two.
And Brian Altano?
Yes.
Okay. I have.
Everyone here has played all Max Paynes.
But in case any listeners have never played Max Payne, don't know what it is.
Yeah, we're old men.
These are third-person shooters, which started the whole bullet time thing, at least in video games. I think it came after The Matrix, but in terms of video games having bullet time, I think Max Payne was really like the first thing. That was kind of its...
It was the inventor, of the father of bullet time.
That was its key feature to me, and correct me if I'm
wrong.
That
was the big part of it.
That was
the key drive to it,
And the first Max Payne was around the turn of the century, right? It was like 2001.
I played it on PlayStation 2, the Ought One.
I think that was like around the time I got my first personal computer.
Oh yeah, my God.
And my graphics card came with a free game. I think it was Max Payne.
I think sadly most of our listeners are more familiar with the movie. than anything.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's the most recent thing.
So the second one didn't sell particularly well.
The second game. There was only one movie.
The second game. Because that one, I remember at my GameStop, they had a stack of them sitting on the counter, and they were $3.
Wow.
So. I loved the first Max Payne. The second one, I didn't love it as much.
Exactly.
I don't think I finished it.
Like, yeah. I liked it. I liked Max Payne's character. I liked it just munching on painkillers whenever you get shot.
So these are third-person shooters with bullet time in a very, like noir, exactly. Sort of like dark, moody,
very gritty,
stylistic.
Yeah. Max's family was killed by
junkies. It's sort of a Punisher story. Yeah. He's getting revenge for his family that was murdered.
It was Punisher plus blood mazes with babies crying.
Yes.
Remember those?
Yes.
Hated those things.
And he pops pills to replenish his health, right?
Yep. That's how it works. Dual weapons, and he jumps through the air.
So the thing is that in the old games, there was no cover.
Yeah.
Max did not take cover.
Ooh, now he ran into rooms and now there's cover? Around.
Yeah, but it's still very... That's something they also stressed, is like, yeah, you can take cover if you want to, but it's still very much jump in the middle and do everything. And they showed, like, what they showed me, you know, was him jumping around, how good it looks. Like, you know, there's one part where he's in, like, an office building, he jumps over a desk, and people are shooting at him, and, like, papers are exploding off the desk in slow motion, and he goes down. But then, like, they're using that natural motion engine, you know what I mean? So it looks more realistic than ever. So at one point, they had him lay on his back and then do, like, the 360, and, like, his body, like, kept contorting and rolling to his belly or his back to however it had to be to make the shot. I thought that was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. It looks really good. And it is Max Payne, the same voice is back, James McCaffrey.
Tell us what you saw. Like, where did they start you off?
It starts off in New Jersey.
How did they set this up for you?
They set this up. Well, they talked for a really long time while the menu screen was on and the menu music was looping. And I was like,
how long after Max Payne 2 is this? All right.
Several years. They're being purposely ambiguous about it.
Why is he in New Jersey?
He is in that's where he lives. He lived in New Jersey, worked in New York City. We didn't know that before. Now really? Look at us. Yeah, that's where it's
crappy. So he's a bridge and tunnel guy. He's a commuter.
Yeah.
That's for like Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what they probably based it on, I think, Dave. Mm. So, it starts in New Jersey. He's off the force. He is down on his luck. He's an alcoholic, still dealing with the fact that his family got killed, and then depending on how you played Max Payne, Mona died too. Spoilers. And so, this guy shows up with a job for him. Hey, why don't you go be the bodyguard down in Sao Paulo, Brazil? Max blows it off, and then some mob boss shows up, and he's like, you killed my son! I want to kill you, Max Payne! And they all run in the building, and then it's like, you know, traditional Max Payne stuff. It's like, he's working down the hallway, and it's dark out, and it's snowing, and it looks filthy, and he's been drinking whiskey. And you're walking down the hallway, and this, like, suicide bomber comes out of an apartment and just walks down the hallway and says something to Max, and then walks down the hallway and blows all these people up. And then you can go in his apartment and find all this like horrible like crazy psychopath stuff.
Cultish shit, which is like there was cultish stuff in the other games. Mm-hmm. There were like kind of weird twists. Remember, there was like weird links to the occult.
Yeah. And so then, you know, they jump ahead in time. So he's taking the job. He's in Sao Paulo, Brazil. He's trying to protect this girl. And you're running around shooting stuff, working on, like, slight puzzles. You know, like, you know, you leave her at one point and you climb up on her. It's not an escort mission. You don't have to be with her at all times. Like, basically, you're like, oh, a bunch of people here. Go hide behind that thing. And then you just go kill things and jump around. And, blow stuff up in slow motion. It was fun.
So
comic cutscenes are back, but they aren't comic like they were before. Like, you know how before it was like you're just looking at a graphic novel page?
Right. Yeah.
This one, and I had a hard time describing it in the text, and I don't think I still did it appropriately. But kind of like, you know, like when movies do like the side-by-side, like stuff's happening, like they take two frames and they're putting them together and stuff's happening
like
and different things.
Ang Lee's Hulk movie.
There you go, sure. And like they're still moving in the frames, but it's like Max's inner monologue, and then words he's saying are being pulled up in like tabloid text and splashed on the screen and stuff like that. This is a chance to hear his motivations.
I've heard it compared to the movie. I mean, Rockstar always draws from pop culture a lot for all their stuff. And I've heard it compared to Man on Fire, which is the Denzel Washington movie in South America, in Mexico, where he's defending Dakota Fanning, guarding her.
They showed that was part of the art book they showed. Like, they had some Man on Fire stuff there.
Really?
But I remember almost falling asleep during that movie, so I hope it's not like that at all.
You're crazy. That movie was badass in the second half.
It was like an action movie meets pop-up video.
I've never seen that movie.
I'd recommend seeing Ghostbusters instead.
Ghostbusters instead.
Yeah. Okay. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, they're very
similar.
It's back
in theaters this month.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
So, Max Payne 3, good. Thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
That's coming out in the spring? Is that right?
Yeah, March.
In March, okay.
It's only been delayed, 2 years? Wasn't that supposed to come out, 2 years ago or something?
There's too many games coming out this month.
I know, I'm just saying,
I'm happy about that.
Xbox or Microsoft has confirmed what we've suspected for a long time, that TV is coming to the Xbox 360. Offering television options, streaming options through your console. So we know, like, they'll have HBO Go, Comcast, Verizon, Fios? I don't even know what that is.
But you have to have cable first? Did we ever?
Fios is good, actually. It's something they were testing on the East Coast back when I lived there, and it's, like, super fast. There's hundreds of channels. If you pass out drunk watching it, your only conundrum is, which of these 40 awesome action movies could I watch right now? It's not like, oh man, I'm stuck watching Planet of the Apes 6. There's just like 50 good movies on at any given moment. So it could be cool.
So they've announced that these are coming soon-ish, but they haven't announced any, like, how it's going to work really, and you know, what it's going to cost. So to someone like me who does not, I don't have cable. Mm-hmm. This is going to be totally useless to me if I already have to have cable for like HBO Go and Comcast.
I don't see the point of anybody.
Like, what is the, why would you?
If it's just like Hulu Plus where I just have to subscribe, that's fine. I would subscribe to an HBO thing so I could watch HBO
I would
content.
Too. Yeah. But so that would be groundbreaking because so far HBO hasn't allowed that anywhere. Even HBO Go on like the iPad app, you still have to be a cable subscriber and have HBO already
which
in order to use that.
Which is incredibly stupid.
It's so obtuse.
Yeah.
It sucks. And I'm totally down for them to break away, but that's what this is leading up to. This is them testing the water. On the iPad app, I think it makes sense, right? Because right now I'm a Comcast subscriber. I'm subscribed to HBO through Comcast. Comcast has the whole, oh, you can go to HBO On Demand and watch stuff, but it's only certain things, whereas HBO Go is HBO's entire catalog.
But you pay for it, right, additionally?
No.
It's an additional fee?
No.
No?
If you are a Comcast subscriber and you already pay for HBO, then this is just a free tack on you.
Okay.
So the entire library of stuff there that I can then watch in an airport, or I can watch at a friend's house, or I can do whatever. So I'm excited to have that now on my TV because then now I can watch HBO's entire library on a widescreen TV rather than an iPad app.
Right.
So, but, I mean, good for you, not good for me.
Exactly.
But if enough people download it and use it and blah, 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 I got to imagine somewhere HBO is sitting there going, let's see how people are, you know, taking this technology, if they're adapting to it, and then we can say, okay, $20 a month, you can get HBO. Because I would drop real cable. Like, I don't like real cable. I don't
it's
really
terrible.
Use
I mean, I only watch cable for, like, what's on Hulu, basically, already, and HBO. Like, that's what I would want cable
like, Damon,
for.
Damon, I'm totally in your boat where I just don't watch cable. I don't.
But you have it?
I went 6 months without having it, and the only reason I have it was because they threw me some ridiculous deal, which is, like, you get a landline internet and cable for $80 a month or something like that. But, I mean, I don't use it. I don't need it. Like, I kind of micromanage the way I watch.
Yeah, I play games more than I do watch TV. Yeah. TV's just something to do while I'm eating.
Yeah, I'm playing games. Plus, I've got Netflix and Hulu Plus.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
like exactly. More stuff than I can watch anyway. Yeah. So I totally don't need cable.
They announced like literally dozens of partnerships here.
And yeah, like there's quite a few.
There's quite a few.
So Crackle.
Yeah,
exactly. Crackle movies are coming next. I've never even heard of that.
So I mean,
Jace Hall's on
I think it'd have to all be compartmentalized into one like central subscription. Like if they want to micromanage all this shit, then what's the like?
How much am I going to pay for my Crackle subscription?
Yeah, if they're like, well, you got to pay for Comcast and then HBO Go, but you can only watch HBO Go through Comcast through Xbox Live that you're already paying what $60 a year for. Yeah. Like it's just going to get ridiculous. This doesn't seem like they're trying to take TV away from TV. It just seems like they're confusing things. I know that sounds grandfatherly of me, but
no, it's true.
I just want everything in one spot, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I think everyone does. Yeah.
Here's what you're overlooking. Remember, we have a date to one day marathon through Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And we'd have to watch that on the iPad at this moment because like I don't think they're all on Comcast on demand.
Actually, you wouldn't have to do that.
Are they all on?
But you could get a HDMI out for your iPad and hook it up to your TV.
You would love to think that, but the HBO Go app disables that.
Are you kidding?
So when you try to do that, it just says HBO Go on your TV.
At this point HBO is just being bitches. Like yeah. that seems deliberately like we don't want people to be able to watch this content on their TV.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Right? Yeah.
It's fuck ridiculous. Off, man.
Gee, like, I wonder why piracy keeps winning.
I know, exactly, right? Like
that's so oh my god, that's so stupid.
And someone made a comment that like that's why I think it's the Apple is it the iPhone that where they were talking about how it was able to overcome piracy because it's easier to just download the game for 99 cents than it is to pirate it.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like they made just buying a game legitimately easier than pirating.
Yes,
right. So just make watching HBO content easy.
Yeah, I mean,
then we won't pirate it.
Exactly.
Like, come on.
If someone's going through all the steps, if I went and did all those HBO things, and then I was like, finally hooked this HDMI adapter to my TV, was like HBO Go, I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah,
pirating it right now.
Pirating right now, just out of angriness and spite.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that HBO's been the old curmudgeon. They've just kind of been like, hey, we control our own stuff for so long. But times are changing. I mean, it's ridiculous that we would probably not ever see a deal that they would do with Netflix to have their stuff instant streaming. Just because they're like, no, we're going to go our own way. Like, they're like an old racist, basically. It's just now like, oh, you know, I guess it's if there are some, you know, Latinos at that restaurant, it'll be okay. Whereas 10 years ago, they're just like, you know, I hate all minorities.
What is Jewish, Brian? I'll tell you, I think all this.
I'm not busting that. I cannot get enough of that. There's nothing I can do without people being like, hey, where's Seth Finkelstein? I'm like, dude, just drop it.
Well, he's got to return for the next Knockin' Boots.
He might. We'll see.
This might be a good time to remind everybody.
You can try. It's worth a shot.
We should remind everyone to subscribe to the Nakamoose podcast in iTunes.
It's totally free.
It is its own separate podcast now, separate from GameScoop. So if you want to keep getting Nakamoose, you have to subscribe to it on your own, on its own in iTunes.
While we're doing reminders, can I remind them?
Yeah, New York Comic Con.
Yeah, hey, everybody. New York Comic Con is next week, the weekend of the 14th. IGN and 1UP are there, and they have a whole bunch of stuff planned. Friday, at this is Friday the 14th. You can come at 7:30 to see the IGN Podcast Beyond Gives You Free Shit panel, where Chris Carr will do a live free shit and give you stuff, and then me and Colin will drag it into the gutter with the Podcast Beyond. Then Saturday, 3 in the afternoon, you can come play Uncharted 3 Drake's Deception with IGN. And 1UP over at the Sprint Uncharted Experience, which is outside the IGN theater. I like it because it sounds like we're a bunch of bums just outside the theater. And then Saturday, 7 p.m., there's an IGN 1UP meet and greet at 300 New York Bowl Lanes. Apparently, that's a real place. We will feed and drink you and give you.
You're going to drink them?
Yeah. We feed them and then we drink them.
Vampires!
Yeah, and it's an infamous festival of blood promotion. And then we give them free t-shirts too. Nice. So look for that article on IGN, and then come around.
New York Comic Con's fun.
It was one of the first events
I ever covered. Yeah. It was great. I did it on my own.
I've never been to any Comic Cons.
My favorite thing I saw at New York Comic Con was there was a guy dressed as, like, basically the worst Incredible Hulk ever, and he was on, like, stilts, but he was super misogynist, so he was just walking around calling everyone bitch and whore, like, every woman he saw, and he's like, Hulk says you're a whore. The women were just like, oh my god, I'm sorry.
Why would you say that, Hulk? You're so gentle on the inside.
Right?
Out this week on Xbox Live Arcade and Steam is Orcs Must Die, a really fun tower defense game with an action, an emphasis on action, much like the Toy Soldiers games.
I know, I haven't played it yet. I want to. It's like Toy Soldiers, which is I'm already sold.
Yeah, it's like a medieval Toy Soldiers. That's sort of the trend, I think, with tower defense games, at least on consoles, is to give you control of an avatar rather than just like looking at the action from a bird's eye view and building your towers. You can still build your towers, but now you're actually controlling an avatar in third person, running around, shooting orcs on your own.
Yeah.
Really polished, really fun. There's no multiplayer to it, but the single player campaign is really long, and they're really smart with how the pace at which they dole out your orc traps. So every level you get something new, so you always want to play the next level to try it out and, you know, test out your new toys.
Much like Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Really smart way to do it. And these are the guys that made Halo Wars, which is an underrated game. Underappreciated game, I think. Definitely check out Orcs Must Die.
What is that face, Anthony?
I wrote a guide for Halo Wars, did not like that game.
Really?
But I also wrote a guide for it, and I think writing a guide makes you hate every game.
Yeah.
I see that.
It's true. Greg, look at these headphones.
I was going to say, this is a new one.
Those are nice headphones, aren't they?
You got the Vertex with mic.
Yeah, made by iFrogs.
Okay, are we giving these away?
We are going to give. We have three pairs of these we're going
to
give
away.
You
want me to give read the description?
Yeah, tell the listeners what they have a chance to win.
In physics, a vertex is where particles collide. In this case, precision, function, style, and sound all collided to create iFrog's Vertex headphones. Designed with our famously comfortable aerofoam ear cushions, Vertex headphones are lightweight, foldable, and ergonomically designed for maximum comfort. The convenient inline microphone allows you to enjoy in-depth acoustic tuning of all of our full-spectrum 40mm, right? Speaker drivers. Yeah, that's drivers. Without missing calls from your mobile phone. Genius, you say? Physicists.
And
agree.
If you would like to win a pair of these fancy headphones from iFrog, just email me at gamescoop@ign.com. Put headphones in the subject line and put your address in the body of the email. I will pick three at random, and they will be sent out to you this week.
Am I eligible?
You're not eligible, Greg. No.
Portillo?
Portillo is eligible, yes.
Portillo has over 1,000 Twitter followers. That's so dumb.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Billy Bogus did.
That's a fake name. You just got taken. That's a fake name.
He says, as the budget and popularity of games grow, and facial recognition tech gets better and better, do you expect to see most games in the future cast big-name actors for the lead characters?
Mm.
It's It's been somewhat irrelevant until now, but L.A. Noire, even though it was disappointing, showed that good actors can give a game a lot more depth and personality. Do you see that being a new trend in games, maybe a few years from now?
Maybe like 10 years from now.
I don't know any more so than it's always been. I mean, we had plenty of games in the 80s that were based on movies that had movie stars in them.
Yeah, but he's saying like them directly doing all of their shit and stuff.
You're always going to have people like, you know, like Tom Cruise, right? Total bitch about video games. Never puts his face in anything.
True, but
they had to make Minority Report with like, you know,
a random dude.
Don Cruise or some other.
I'm just saying like L.A. Noire, like that game was like notoriously expensive to make because they did all that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, until the technology gets better. Plus, do you want to pay like Bruce Willis to sit there and do those things? Like, probably not.
It's similar like when you want to cast an unknown in a movie, right? Because you want them to, the player to be able to project themselves into it. I think you'll see more of a process for the games that want to do it, for bigger games, move towards like the Uncharted. You know, like we have the same person doing the voice, the same person doing the mocap. They come in the balls, they act out the entire, like that's where I think I see cinematic games going, as far as like we want this polished experience that has actors portraying the character all the way through. But I don't necessarily think you need Natalie Portman in there doing that.
I mean, the reason that I think L.A. Noire worked, to go back to this point, is that that guy is pretty unknown. Like, he's been in quite a few stuff. Yeah, the guy played Cole Phelps, but a lot of people don't know him.
Right, but there were like lots of recognizable actors from Mad Men.
I'm saying the person you're playing as, like the person you're assuming.
What if it's like, you know, what if you're playing yourself in the game, but the bad guy in the game is some recognizable actor?
Right.
You know, is Jason Schwartzman, you know, something like
no,
that.
No, I think
it like it totally depends on the game too. I mean, because I can't watch a Pierce Brosnan movie nowadays without thinking I've shot you in the face thousands of times. Like, I've thrown proximity mines to your mouth and it's gotten stuck and you've run around. So we'll see. I don't know. If it's about just shooting a popular actor in the face repeatedly, then I don't know what the benefit is for their career.
I think a lot of people would want to do that.
Yeah. Never forget the lessons we learned with the Wheelman.
Vin Diesel?
Yeah.
This is Robert Davidson.
I like this name.
He's got a question about comics.
Oh my gosh, that's something I could talk to.
Hey guys, possibly. This is Robert Davidson.
Hi Robert.
I've recently been getting into comics. I'm wondering at this point whether it's better to go digital or buy print. I'm a 14-year-old and short on cash, so is it better for me to save up and buy an iPad, or just continue to buy print?
Oh.
To be clear, I'm more into Marvel comics like Deadpool, so I'm wondering if those comics are digital yet at all. I could use the help, thanks.
Yeah, Marvel's digital. They've announced they're going day and date, just like DC went.
But I wouldn't say that price is not why you go digital, though, in my opinion. You do it because you don't want the clutter of all the paper comics sitting on shelves.
100% agree with Anthony over there.
I mean, you, Greg, you got an iPad pretty specifically for comics.
Yeah, I wanted to.
That's how I keep up on Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So it's not like on, like with games, like downloadable games are generally cheaper than retail games.
Well,
are they the same price on digital comics?
It depends. People are toying with that. DC is doing the thing right now where if you buy their comics day and date digitally, you're paying full cover price. But if you wait a month, they reduce it by $1.
Exactly.
So there is a thing there. But I mean, like, as far as what he's talking about, like, you're going to have to save for a long time, and then I don't know when you see that investment come back. If you only want the iPad for comics, then I would just keep buying comics.
Like, Walking Dead is like $2.99 when it comes out, so it's like the same price, and I still pay it every month.
Yeah.
But I would say, if you really want to save money, it's cheaper just to wait for a trade paperback.
Oh, yeah, 100% true as well, yeah. That's how I did Walking Dead forever, until I got on the digital.
So you got caught up.
Yeah. Well, no, when I was caught up, I would still wait for the trades, because I just did not want to, because then I have a bookshelf full of trades. I don't want single issues there.
Walking Dead is now on Netflix streaming.
I know, that's exciting.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I haven't watched it yet, so.
You haven't seen any of it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's another one we should marathon.
Sure. Right. Yeah, I'm down.
It's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, it's not long.
So you can fly through that in an afternoon.
When I was 14, I was mowing lawns to make money.
I was too.
When I was 14, me and my friend decided that we were going to go around and tell people that we were trying... But we were trying to raise money for college, and what we did is we offered to repaint their numbers on their curb, their address.
Oh, wow.
And any color
scheme. That's actually good.
And any color scheme they wanted. So we just had a sack full of paint. We're like, what's your favorite football team? And they're like, oh, I love the Chargers. And we went out there in yellow and blue and did their address.
That's cool. That's really good.
Is that illegal?
It's illegal. We eventually had to stop. But yeah, we were going around doing Raiders colors for people. We're like, this is awesome. And we just don't pay us anything you want.
That's funny.
And then who stopped you? The police roll up one day?
The coppers.
No, I think our parents finally were like, it actually turns out it was illegal. We're like, we're not raising money for college. We're lying to everyone.
you can't just take to the streets and rebrand your town on your own.
This is Marcus. He says, What do you guys feel the next step is to increase the appeal of motion gaming? Oh. For a while, it seemed like we were all going to get rid of our couches and coffee tables so we could walk around a forest and swing a sword at a dragon.
Really?
But it seems...
I mean, he's being sarcastic.
But it seems, besides the Wii, which is okay, motion gaming has dropped off. Just interested in your thoughts. Love the show.
Let's make it one thing clear. The Wii is not okay. Yeah. I was the only system I ever bought on launch day, and it's like the saddest pile of regret I have in my house.
I don't know. Motion gaming, it was kind of a... So it appeals to casual gamers, you know. Whether or not you don't like that term.
It had its days, you know. We had a fun few afternoons, like...
It appeals to certain people who aren't, you know... super, super into games. They don't play games every day. They treat it like a board game where they pull it out every once in a while when they have people over or right. when it's like family game night. It exists in that realm.
I think right now let's see how Zelda shakes out. Like there is a 50 to 100 hour motion only game coming this fall. It's the only big motion game coming anytime soon.
Can you not play that with just controls?
No.
See, it's a motion plus, it's Wii motion plus game.
Ooh, see, the thing when I play
you cannot play that without waving your arm around.
Yes, ooh. You have to. We'll see. I mean, that could be the nail in the coffin for this type of stuff.
They're not immersive enough to make me want to use them all the time. They've never made it to where it doesn't feel like it's like a gimmick, and they're not precise enough to where I can do like a one-to-one lightsaber fight.
Right.
Like the day I can do that or something, you know, like hold a plastic lightsaber in my hand and do a one-to-one lightsaber fight, that's really cool.
And even then, like a simulation. How fun is that going to be? Like, I love lightsabers, but I don't know if I'd be good at one.
Sure.
Like, maybe I just want to hit a button. You wouldn't. Yeah, I can assure me I wouldn't.
How many times you do that where you're like swinging like that hockey stick I carry around, swinging you nick your own arm? You're like,
if this is a lightsaber arm, the kids would be dead. There'd be decapitated body parts everywhere.
Yeah.
And talking about walking around a forest, like Rise of Nightmares shows that walking around an environment with motion controls is dumb. Where the technology is now, it's just really goofy and ridiculous.
I enjoyed. Did you play any of the Gunstringer?
Yeah, I like it.
I enjoyed that for what it was.
It's on rails.
Yeah, it's on rails. But, you know, it felt like you were moving a toy around. Mm-hmm. But, again, a lot of this stuff just feels like it could be replicated with a button press. So why? You know, I don't think
that's... So Gunstringer is, we all agree, very well done. But the bottom line is always going to be, that's just not what I want to do.
No.
It's just not how I want to play a game.
Not at all.
Until we have the holodeck from Star Trek, I don't have much interest in walking around while I play.
Yeah.
This is Josh Edmiston. He says, obviously Rage has been getting some fairly mixed reviews. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't know that it has.
It's getting, the lower side is like the Sixus Reigns, cool. And then the higher side is the 9.
Its Metacritic score is 83, and we gave it an 8.5.
Correct.
Yep.
Some people really love it, many dislike it, say it's destroyed the genre that PC gaming has held on to so tightly over the years.
What genre?
Who is saying it's destroyed the first-person shooter
that
genre?
Went in thinking this is just going to be another Borderlands, right?
I don't know that it did anything to destroy the genre. It is an id shooter in many ways. Like, go back and play Doom 2 or Doom 3 even, and you realize, like, Quake Rage isn't that different. Like, so how is it destroying anything? It is more of what id's always been known for.
Mm. I haven't played it yet myself. I want to play it, but you played it?
I know. So to be fair, I've seen it several times, and I've watched Charles play it a bunch, and this is what I get from Charles. Like, Charles tells me, it's like, and I trust Charles, which is why I'm speaking as authoritatively as I am, that, you know, it's very linear, it's like very what you expect from id. It's not the open world game that maybe some people thought it was going to be, like Borderlands and stuff like that. It's that you roll, you drive in a car, you go to a place, and then you do a linear corridor shooter. You drive in the car, go to another place, do a linear corridor shooter, which is what id's always done. Monster closets with linear-ass corridors.
It is very pretty. Yeah, even on consoles, it's really smooth. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Josh's question is this. Let's say Charles Onyet had given Rage a 7 rather than the 8.5.
Fired.
Being published by Bethesda, would this have affected whether or not IGN received a copy of Skyrim come November for review?
I know why he's
saying. Or maybe not get an exclusive review. Or perhaps not gotten review copies at all.
I mean, I suppose with any publisher, there's always a chance that they could... They can choose to not give us games. They have to choose to do it. But I don't think that...
There has been times in the past where publishers would be upset with a review score, and then they say, we're not going to send you review copies anymore. But then they usually... They come around.
But I mean, think about how petty that is and how petty that sounds. And that's usually one person who's trying to like push whatever agenda they're pushing.
Yeah.
And the thing is that if Charles were to give Rage a low score and we didn't get reviewable of...
Skyrim.
Of Skyrim... no one in charge that's in charge of Charles is going to be like, well, now we don't have a Skyrim review.
Thanks a lot,
Charles.
Charles.
That's your fault for being honest.
Pour coffee on him.
Exactly. Like, that would never happen. Charles doesn't give a shit about stuff like that either. Like,
none of us do. I don't think that's the whole point.
So, like, yeah, that's totally. I saw people making insinuations about that on Twitter. Other people in the games press.
Recently, a publisher that will remain nameless called me to talk about a review somebody had written and how that, oh, I don't know, we have this exclusive lined up with you later on. I'm like, all right, fine. You know, pull it. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to, oh my God, really? Hold on. Let me
we'll
take the
turn
review
that
down.
Upside down.
Come on. I'm going to dock another point in this conversation.
Josh's other question is, how do ratings like these affect on-site advertisements? If it had been deemed mediocre by Mr. Onyet, would IGN have pulled the ads from the background of the homepage?
Well, no. That's not how it works.
No. Yeah, that's not how it works.
That, it's possible that the... Again, I don't want to talk straight to this game. Like, it's possible that that publisher might have pulled ads down the line or whatever, broken contracts. But again, now we're talking in a whole bunch of hypotheticals, seeing as how there's a defined wall between advertising and editorial at IGN, so we do not know what's going up on the site, nor do we know the terms of deals or anything.
And advertising usually has those deals locked away for like the ad skins and stuff well before the game's ever even been received for review.
Yeah, it's very much a gray area thing. I think there was either a Guitar Hero or a Rock Band game that came out last year that we didn't give the best score to. But our site was skinned with ads because I guess, you know, our ad people had made a deal about that. And I think in the ads were a pull quote from an IGN preview this is fun. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of the site was our review that was like 6.5. So
yeah,
I mean,
it happens all the time.
It happens and it's...
Which, to be fair, could still be fun.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, we didn't say it was a 2. No one lost their jobs or anything like that.
When I eviscerated Naughty Bear that day, the site was skinned with Naughty Bear.
Right. It happens. I mean... What can you do?
Oh, man. Naughty Bear 2 is still coming.
Is it?
Isn't that great? Knowing you just get to sleep at night. You're
you
so
can't
excited.
Stop man. Me, Greg. What do I have to do to kill you?
This is Matt Honey.
Good name.
He says, I loved Final Fantasy VII, and 13 was the worst I've played.
Wow.
What do you think would make the Final Fantasy games relevant again?
I think
they need to involve Western developers in the story and gameplay departments. I don't get these overly cute and stupid characters. I think they need to go dark and serious with a focus on the main story, the background of the characters, side quests, and minigames.
Where are you from,
Chocobo? I was literally about to say, get American developers involved.
Yeah. But. Make it like a Western-style RPG. Make it like Fallout?
Wow.
Is that what you do?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying,
so
like...
So many people want you dead right now.
I'm saying it can still...
I was just a suggestion.
I think it's great, but
saying,
people are going to hear that and be like, don't
I'm
you
saying
dare.
It could still be a turn-based RPG and stuff, but I agree that Japanese developers play it very safe. With their game design, a lot of times they don't do that much crazy because they're like, this worked before, let's not fuck it up too much. And that's good to an extent, but I do think that they need... I mean, Square owns Eidos, so why not get some of the people from like Crystal Dynamics and stuff to come in and be
like... let them finish Tomb Raider.
But I'm not saying to make the game, but I'm saying have them come in and tell these guys like, and actually have the authority to be like, this doesn't work. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, because I feel like sometimes the Japanese teams kind of get like a... Do what you do, you're okay, you're not going to be fucked with. You know. And those guys need to have maybe a little bit more creative control from the American side to come in and be like, this is dumb.
I'm going to fuck with you.
I think there's a little bit of arrogance on the side of the Japanese developers. Because for so long, it was, you know, a Final Fantasy game would come out or a Dragon Quest game. And, like, everyone would skip school and work in Japan.
They universally acclaimed it.
They could do no wrong.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest game came out... People would be lined up around the block the day before that game was released to buy the game. You know,
my friend's mom used to buy him every Final Fantasy game for his birthday when it came out, and then she would play it and not let him play it.
That's cool.
Great.
Yeah. Your friend's mom's hot.
Yeah.
This is Jesse Sessler.
Adam Sessler's kid brother.
He says, hello, Damon and friend.
My big brother's on TV, and he's mean to me.
How do I get on the television?
I was just wondering what your opinion is on the upcoming The Thing remake. Personally, I think that without Kurt Russell's bearded goodness, it can't stand a chance.
It's a prequel, motherfucker. Kurt Russell isn't supposed to
be
in it.
But here's why it's confusing. Here's why it seems like a remake, because from... The footage I've seen in the movie, it's hitting all the same plot points.
It's exactly the same.
That's the original.
Same damn
it's the
name.
Same story.
It's the same damn story. Like, why?
Okay, I'll explain.
It's just taking place before. It happened before. This exact same thing happened before.
It did. If you watch the original Thing movie, Kurt Russell and the guys go out to the Norwegian outpost. It's all burnt to the ground.
Yes.
And it's because the Norwegians were the one who found the spaceship. Yes.
But don't you think...
And in the beginning, the dog runs.
Don't you think the deaths could have happened in a different way? There could have been different set pieces. There could have been, you know, things could have happened in a different order.
Nah.
It's just the exact same story that apparently happened a few months before.
It's so dumb, and we know how it ends.
No,
exactly.
We don't. It's burnt. Yes, we do.
20 years ago, I was going to watch the thing, and I heard this was coming one day, and I said, I don't want to get him out of order.
I just told you. Anthony just spoiled this new movie for you.
There's a dog in Norwegian.
No, there's a pile of burnt crap at the beginning of the movie, mm-hmm. and that's this movie that's coming out. A pile of burnt crap.
So if you've never seen the first thing, here's how you got to do it.
Shame on you.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
You got to go watch the new thing.
Yes.
Then watch the thing.
Because it's to watch them in order. And then you'll be like, I've just seen this.
And then play the video game, because the video game picks up right where the thing movie ends.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I don't know about this, because I had this discussion recently. My girlfriend's never seen any of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
And what?
I didn't know. Yeah.
I don't even know how that's possible.
I don't know.
How do you avoid seeing Star Wars?
And I agree. Watching 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is kind of a dumb idea.
Yeah, do I show her the Phantom Menace first? I'm like, here it is, baby. This is where it all began.
No.
Now this is pod racing.
But I will say that if you can get past,
it's working.
If you can get past a lot of the flaws in the thing video game, it's still really cool. It tells a cool story.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything bad about the game. It's just...
And they explain what happens at the end of the thing movie. Because, you know, the thing movie, the 80s one, the John Carpenter one, ends in a very ambiguous way.
See, I would rather they make a movie that picks up there, and then we can do whatever we want with it. But I don't need to know about the stuff that happened before this.
I would like to know about that, if it was different than what happened with Kurt Russell.
Whatever, it has Mary whatever, I'm going to watch it.
Here's the part where the guy's head comes off and grows legs and walks around. Here's where the dog kills all the other dogs. It's like, we've seen all this before.
Yep. Mary Elizabeth Winstead? I would marry her.
Speaking of remakes, isn't it about time for a Police Academy remake?
Yes.
Why has nobody remade Police Academy?
I don't know.
With all the remakes out there,
I wish they could.
Nobody's doing Police Academy.
I don't want a remake. I want another sequel.
I can already see who's. I'm going to cast Ryan
Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds as Mahoney.
As Mahoney. Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson is Hightower.
No, get Mahoney as Mahoney. He's still alive. He's one of the only...
That's what I'm saying. Just make another sequel.
Well, Hightower is dead.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but what would
don't you need a Jewish guy? Don't you need a Jewish guy to be Mahoney? No.
You're just trying to get me to do that voice Mahoney. Again.
No, I'm just saying.
Mahoney is so old at this point, it wouldn't make sense to see him as like a street cop. I'm still chasing criminals.
He can be the police chief. He can be like the senile police chief.
Bring him in as the senile police chief. That would be a great homage.
Who will play Bobcat Goldthwait?
Bobcat Goldthwait will still play Bobcat Goldthwait.
They just get a crazy homeless.
Who will be the sound effects guy?
Michael Winslow?
We need to have like some famous beatboxer be this. It needs to be like Bismarcky.
Exactly.
Oh, Zach Galifianakis
will be
in this
film. He's like older than Michael Winslow.
Exactly. Zach Galifianakis is going to play the character that Bobcat Goldthwait played.
Who will be Hightower?
And Ryan Reynolds is Mahoney.
Oh, this is so good. Damien, can we write this article?
Hightower is going to be...
Let's write the script.
Hightower is just going to be a famous football or basketball player who's trying to break into acting.
Who is the chick with the huge cans?
Oh, yeah.
What was her name? That was like the 80s
film. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, she was the one that was always like, there was like sexual tension. I just want to see her naked for once.
All right, so, yeah. No listeners take this idea. We're going to do this.
Don't
steal copyright, trademark.
That's how it works in America. You just say copyright.
I'm going to email
a copy.
If I mail a copy of this podcast to myself, yeah. It's postmarked.
Put it on a bar napkin, put a stamp on it, and it's ours.
We're copywriting someone else's movie.
This is Geo Freed.
I like his name at all.
Fun. So he's talking about, remember we talked last week about the nudity in Dead Island?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He says, fun fact, the ESRB wouldn't be able to re-rate the game as you can't physically see the nudity offline. Thus, this would fall into the online interactions, which at the start of every game are explicitly said, online interactions not rated by the ESRB. Now, I don't think this is correct. I think online interactions are talking about human interactions. So it's that kid, it's that piece of shit little 12-year-old kid yelling racist, homophobic things in your ear.
That guy.
That is what is not rated by the ESRB.
No one can control him.
I know, right?
Had to put that in
then every game would be AO.
Annoying children will yell at you.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that's actually true.
It was a nice try.
Yeah, that's game content created by the game itself. And okay. Yep.
This is Eric Krochek. Hey, Damon, Greg, and whoever else is there. I just finished Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Yeah, you did.
And I gotta say, what the balls?
Yeah, I told you.
Do any of you guys or gals understand the ending? And if you do, make sense of it? Do you, so, spoilers here. We're going to talk specifics about the end of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Okay.
Spoilers. Don't listen if you don't want to hear this.
Do you I still haven't finished it. So.
Okay.
Do you know? Because you didn't know for a long time, and I kept telling you.
I don't know, and I don't know that I'm ever going to play
that
again.
Yeah.
So, his specific question.
Anthony's closing his ears.
Do you think that Lucy is actually dead?
No.
And when do you think we can expect Assassin's Creed 3? Like, 3.
Oh, 2012, I guess, because they already announced the 2012 game, and they've announced that Revelations... You can stop now.
You can stop. We're done with the spoiler.
And they've announced that Revelations is the end of Ezio's trilogy. So it seems that 2012 would then... The 2012 one they announced would be Assassin's Creed 3. That's my take.
Okay. You really think you're going to finish that one someday?
I would really love to.
I mean, I would too. I'm just being realistic.
Revelations is already here, man.
I just have a stack of games.
I'm
like,
counting on
I think
getting...
at this point, I'm just going to have to read about the ending.
Just watch it.
I played the crap out of 2, and I just never really got to Brotherhood.
See, some people aspire to have like a rewarding career. I aspire to as I walk through downtown, to throw myself in front of a rich person and get hit by a car so I can lay in bed and play games all day and be paid.
So. I just want to play video games.
This is Nate of Tennessee.
Okay.
He's 16. He says, I need friends.
Oh, Nate.
We're here for you.
Says, this isn't a question about Knocking Boots, but about a different kind of relationship, friendship. Mm-hmm. I have no friends at all. I have no friends at all, but I've recently been going online with my PlayStation 3 and really enjoy chatting with people. It's very rare, though, that anyone will chat back when I say hello. I also get rather nervous when I chat with someone older than me. I just want to know if you can get any kind of real friend online, or if I will be forever doomed to be known as the loner with the psycho family.
So,
wow, okay, it's okay.
A little dark right there.
Let's calm down, Nate.
There's,
it's going to be okay.
There's a guy who's now like in some sort of design role at 343 Industries now, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he didn't have friends. His name's David Ells. But he, for instance, ended up getting a job in this industry by chatting with people online while playing games and through Gears of War 3.
That's cool.
So I'm just saying that, yeah, you can totally meet legitimate friends through online games.
Games can be tough, and I don't know where he's chatting in PS3. Is he in home? Is he just randomly PSNing people? I mean, like, I think message boards are a good way, too. Like, MyIGN. A lot of kids there are really close friends. They get on Tiny Chat every other night and talk and drink and hang out and just... that's how they do it, because they're friends that are spread out across the country, so that's how they get together, hang out. They watch movies together off Tiny Chat and stuff like that. Like, come to MyIGN. Come to IGN.com. Get a MyIGN page set up and
it's
start
free.
Talking to people that way. This isn't me. Yeah, this isn't me actually. You know, shilling for the site. In reality, there's a community there that is very
and other communities work good too. Sometimes,
nope,
sometimes
they suck.
Just
sometimes
this one.
No, but sometimes just going to like fan pages of things on Facebook, even their podcast fan pages for like all of our podcasts and all those kids chat and stuff, because they have that one thing in common that becomes a leaping point.
There's a Greg Miller
a leaping
fan
point.
Page.
This is Evan Wallace. He has a very special request that I think Greg will want to fulfill.
I see a photo in the back.
We've got two photos to end on here.
Oh, yes.
Evan says, me and my girlfriend, Becky, have our 2-year anniversary this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
This Sunday. I wanted to know if you could give us, mainly her, as this would be a surprise for her, a shout-out on this week's podcast for the occasion. Oh. I've been a huge fan of GameScoop.
There it is.
And IGN for a while. And she knew nothing about video games until we started dating. Now she looks forward to the podcast and also the Knock'em Boots segments, which give us many lols. She is active with you guys on Twitter. I've attached a picture of her ultimately being hit on by Greg when she asked if I would leave her after playing Catherine. She said to Greg, if my boyfriend buys and plays Catherine, should I be worried that he won't want to stay with me and marry me? Greg says, yes, dump him, date me. For real, seeing all your Beyond 200 questions. Apparently she wrote in then.
Yeah,
sorry, they didn't get picked up, but blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Greg was hitting on
this guy's
girlfriend.
That's what I do. Oh, yeah, I remember this girl. Yeah, damn right I hit on Becky. How you doing, Becky? Huh? This is still working out. Still dating this dweeb 2 years later, huh?
Hey, here's your shout-out.
Look back, exactly. Look back at the last 2 years and ask yourself, could an internet celebrity have done better things for you? If that answer is yes, at me, at Game Over Greggy on Twitter.
We could have got you, like, free pizza from Domino's.
I mean, let's just break down the stats. You've been with this joke for 2 years. Years and you have 9 followers, Becky. Watch this, everybody. Go follow my friend at Beaming Becky. BEAMING Becky. BECKY. Tell her Game Over Greggy sent you, and then it's time to get out of the hellhole that is North Providence, Rhode Island. All right. Congratulations, wow. By the way, for that.
Hey, you wasted over listening.
600 days of your life.
There you go.
They know I'm joking.
Congrats.
Final email of the week comes from JD from South Africa.
I've seen the rain down in Africa.
Kind of long, but I'll try to paraphrase as much as I can. And there'll be a good payoff here. He says, I am a graduate student at Miami University, working on my PhD in zoology and animal nutrition. You can appreciate that.
That's what I wanted to do at one point.
Oh, that failed.
I highly enjoy video games. I find them a great way to unwind at the end of a day. Now that I am in the world of academia, most of my peers have their master's and PhDs. I keep quiet about my pastime. I'm now a closet gamer. It gets nothing but scowls when I bring it up. It is considered a waste of time. I don't agree with this. I think there are some truly beautiful games out there that should be considered nothing less than art, but it is what it is. Anyways, I've been a fan of GameScoop for a couple of years now. It has been a great way for me to stay connected to the nerd culture that I belong to. The first episode I heard was the classic Dirty 30, and I have been hooked.
Good one, listeners.
I have been hooked ever since. I don't think I've missed an episode. Yeah, if a refresher, a Dirty 30 is the name for the free 30 seconds of porn you get at the New Otani Hotel in Makuhari, Japan.
And then, so during TGS one time, we were recording GameScoop. We watched the 30 in one room and then sprinted to the other room to see how it ended.
We turned it on randomly, and it was a really good scene. But then our 30 seconds were up, so we ran to another room to continue the scene. It was good.
It was me and Bozon, just elephants running through this Japanese hallway, all recorded.
He says, this summer, I've been given the opportunity of a lifetime, an internship at a wildlife refuge in South Africa called Drakenstein Lion Park. I've been living over here for 2 months now. It has been an absolute dream for me. It's great still being able to listen to your podcast, as it helps me combat the little bit of homesickness I get on occasion. 3 weeks ago, a lioness gave birth to two stunning little cubs. Here at the park, whenever a cub is born, every employee comes up with a name idea.
No fucking way.
No.
And then we all vote on which it is to be. I was blown away when the two names I conceived were chosen, Damon and Miller.
Nice.
Here are Damon and Miller.
Oh, they're adorable.
Here you go. Pass these guys around. I hope Greg doesn't mind too much that his namesake has been given to the female cub.
That's fine.
Just to let him know.
Is that the one he's fingering here in this photo?
Yes, with the tongue out.
In a couple more months, that female cub will be able to kick my butt. The cubs are beautiful and stunning in every way and bring so much joy to everyone here. They will bring even more joy in another year when they are released into the wild and we will get to see them set off on their own to live like the proud hunters that they are.
Don't be ashamed of your hobby, by the way, though. Anybody that gives you shit for it, tell them to fuck off because... Damon, you know how to have fun.
It's Damon on the left, Miller on the right here.
Oh. So, you're the one getting the belly rub.
No, all the way around.
I screwed that up, sorry.
Yeah. You're getting a belly rub. Right. I'm being cute. I'm being coy.
You are being very cute.
Hopefully these cubs know the difference between left and right.
He says, I got to be honest, say I didn't bring up where I got the names from. And the rest of the people here at the refuge, I didn't think they would go for it. But I thought it could just be our little secret. And everyone else that listens to the podcast. Anyways, keep up the good work and know you have listeners around the world.
Aww.
Thank you so much, JD.
Plus cats.
Yes, exactly. And now it's GameScoop plus cats.
Yes.
That's really
awesome.
That's really awesome of you, JD. That's very cool. And these cubs are absolutely adorable.
They're going to be killers. They're going to be lady they're going to be lady killers just like you two.
Yeah. Even the female one's going to be a lady killer.
She's going to be a lesbian tiger.
That's all the scoops we have for you this week. What are we playing this weekend? I'm still plowing through Deus Ex.
I'm doing my second playthrough of Batman Arkham City.
Oh, my goodness.
I was teasing that I've been playing... I can't talk about it, but I've been playing a game that rhymes with Hey Man Storage Bins. It's to really... which someone on Twitter said, Hitman Absolution? I was like, you're bad at rhyming. Yeah. But it's so
I'm currently working on a scale replica of an AT-AT in Minecraft.
Nice. Let us
that's
know when that's
awesome.
Done.
Is it going to move or is it just going to stand there?
Oh, it's just made of brick. It's just going to stand there and be my second home.
Okay.
I don't think you can make movable stuff from Minecraft.
No, not yet. My goal is to make a line of them facing our houses so that it looks like we're always being invaded by
AT-ATs. Can you take them down with tow cables?
No.
Are you going to have a little Luke Skywalker hanging
from
the middle?
No, because it's to scale, so I can't make a little human. So,
what? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's like to scale to my guy, and I couldn't make like a human looking guy hanging from it. Like, the blocks wouldn't be there to do it.
I'm not interested anymore.
I guess we have to play Minecraft to understand. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in this week.
Thank you.
Remember, you can always reach us. Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop. Oh, I didn't thank you guys. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Altano. Thank you, Anthony. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out. Come get up. Beware.
IGN Gamescoop. Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.